welcome to Bad Batching. I'm your host, Johnny Orm, and I'm sorry it's late. So, Friday, new episode day. I was at work. I was working Friday and Saturday, both late shifts, so I didn't get a chance to do any recording. And I also couldn't find my wireless headphones. So it really just put a whole dampener on the entire podcast recording shenanigans. But I found the headphones and I've got some time alone in my car so I can quickly record a show, finally. Because I've been itching to talk about this one. So it's Rescue on Ryloth. It's the second part of a two-part story, following on from Devil's Deal from last week. So the Bad Batch are featured heavily in this episode. The first part, Devil's Deal, was essentially setting up everything to do with Ryloth. And, you know, just chucking in the Bad Batch for good measure. It comes to light why the Bad Batch got that moment, which was to basically have Gobi turn around and go, "Oh yeah, I know these guys. These guys gave me weapons," but completely doesn't have a clue why they're there. So the episode, we have Hera getting in touch with the Bad Batch through Omega to basically ask for help, and Hunter's not happy that she gave him gave Hera their transponder code, and Hera's like, "Look, I gave it to her because I thought she might need it if she was in trouble, and isn't that what soldiers do?" And I'm absolutely loving how Omega has got Hunter wrapped around her little finger, and she knows exactly how to play him. And I don't think she's even playing him. I think she's just being completely honest with him. It's like, "Look, you know, soldiers are meant to help people, and these people obviously need help. So I'm helping them, and by helping them, I'm giving them our transponder code." And it's like, "Oh, well played, little clone. Well played." So, of course, the Bad Batch go in to help out. They realise that Crosshair is there. They're initially thinking it's just going to be a simple in-and-out extraction job, but with Crosshair kind of already gunning for them after recent events, they're pretty much like, "Yeah, this guy, he wants to get us. He wants to take us out." Luckily for the Bad Batch, they had help from Hauser, the clone in charge of Admiral Rampart's forces on Ryloth. And he's like, "Look, I don't agree with what the Empire are doing. I swore to protect Ryloth, and essentially we're not. We're basically making them into slaves." And he does this as a distraction so the Bad Batch could escape. In Ornfreetar's personal shuttle. And it was actually, like, we get it confirmed that Ornfreetar was the victim of an assassination attempt, not assassinated, which, so essentially the canon still lines up with Lords of the Sith. Cham and his wife, you know, they're like, "Look, Cham realizes that, you know, he needs to still fight for Ryloth, that there's the Empire are just as bad as he was afraid of." And I think, unfortunately for him, he was just so hopeful that that the Empire was going to be like their savior. You know, they were going to be the ones that really just, you know, got them out of, got Ryloth out of this. I think the only way of saying it is like just like the utter hellhole that it had been. You know, people with their Twi'leks were taken away as slaves. They were often overlooked by the Republic. Despite Ornfri Tarr being a very prominent member of the Republic, they, you know, the planet was pretty much in poverty, except for the super rich, of course. So Cham's really like just hopeful, and you know, the Empire using this facility where they would be harvesting Dunia, like, that I think was meant to be, like, I think they were selling it as, look, you know, you guys, you know, we're going to provide you with work, we're going to provide you with jobs, so you're going to, like, have, you know, you're going to have a job, you're going to earn money, and, you know, you're going to break free of this poverty. And I think everything that the Empire was saying was wonderful to Cham, but on paper, you know, once he had it, you know, once he kind of, once everything was laid out in front of him, it really, really wasn't. So on to Hera. Like, Hera, like the little rebel that she was and continues to be, she absolutely nails it. Once the Bad Batch go to her and agree to help her, she comes up with a plan. Her and Omega come up with a plan, and this is like, just, it not only does it kind of show Hera as kind of this brilliant strategist that she becomes, we also learn more about Omega. Like, she's got strategy down, and you know, it's like, right, how do we get a diversion? How, you know, we need to get rid of all of the Imperial forces from the capital. How do we do that? Hey, I know, let's blow up their refinery that you know. And he's like, okay, how heavily guarded is it? Oh, they've got these automated weapons. Okay, what do we do with that? Oh, no, we just take them out. So, yeah, like, having Omega being, like, the super strategist is great for her development. And kind of seeing where she's going. I mean, people have often said that she seems to be taking so much of, like, different traits from the Bad Batch themselves. So obviously they're great strategists, so of course she's going to either have that ingrained in her, or she's learning it from them. And coming up with a plan that involves Hera and Chopper kind of going into this refinery. The fact that Hera has been spying on the place for a while already and knows how it operates, you know, they're very ready to go with this. So they send, so-called sending Chopper in, you know, it's like, oh my god, I have like literally gone from like season one of Clone Wars with the Ryloth arc and it with the part one, and then in part two I'm feeling like I'm in a Rebels episode, because Chopper goes into an Imperial facility, hacks into their computers. Unfortunately, Chopper can't do it, so they have to go with the next best thing, and that's Hera stealing a shuttle and blowing up the weapon, the cannons. And there's like this great moment with like Tech's like, you know, like the turrets are exploding, right? And they're like, yeah, that's us, we're just doing that. Change of plan. Hey, Wrecker, go and trash stuff. And so Tech and Wrecker going into the facility, just trashing the place, which is all part of the diversion for Hunter and Echo to basically free the prisoners. Of course, Crosshair being in the capital, he knows this isn't this isn't what it seems. So he keeps his squad behind, and they're like, right, okay, I know what they're doing. I know, it's obvious why they're here. Here's what we're going to do. So he has all these clone troopers, all of Hauser's unit, outside this one entrance. He's up there on a ledge, sniper ready. He's going to take them all out. And Hauser's like in there, he's helping Cham get out. And he's like, look, this is the only way that you guys are going to get out safely. You go up, you take the Ornfree Task Shuttle, and I will, I'll be your distraction. And they get away, and Hauser's doing this whole spiel that I said earlier, where he's like, right, look, the Empire are wrong, who's with me? And all these clone troopers lay down their arms, and Crosshair's just like, arrest them. Just clap them in cuffs, get rid of them. As the Bad Batch make their escape in two shuttles, one of which, of course, goes to Hera and her parents, and the Ryloth Freedom Fighters, and the Bad Batch go off on their journey. This is like the beginnings of Hera, and how she becomes the character that we loved in Rebels, and we really get to see this is like a true origin story here, and it's great. And I stepped back into the world of Clone Wars for half an hour, and now I've stepped into the world of Rebels for half an hour, and the gap was bridged by Bad Batch, and it was so well done. It could have been it could have just been like ultimate fan service, and for me it didn't feel fan servicey. For me it just felt like, right, these guys, they ended up stuck in the middle of this fight, and it's part of that whole A-team vibe that I have been harping on about for weeks. I may have, like, a couple of weeks ago when I said, right, look, this is why things are going to happen. I think we're going to have we've got four episodes left. 2 weeks ago, it was episode one, we're in episode 10, and I said, I think what we're going to do is we're going to have, like, a two-part season finale, which is going to be, like, or we're going to get like a feature length, it's going to be two part feature season finale, so that's going to be episodes 15 and 16, and I'm going to have two episodes where it's like, hey look, we are the we're the A-team kind of thing, and I'm going to have two episodes which is going to be like all about Cross, it's only the Crosshair Bad Batch kind of thing, and which will come to fruition at the end in the season finale. And so far I think we've had our two A-team episodes. Granted, the amount of Crosshair and the fact that at the end of the episode, you've got Rampart saying, I think I underestimated your friends. And Crosshair's like, permission to go after him. And he's like, go for it. Take him out. But what I did find interesting, and this is something I didn't expect to see, and I might have just been reading into it a little bit too much. Me, a Star Wars fan, looking into something too much? Never. There's a couple of moments in this episode, especially with Hauser saying his stuff, and Crosshair has a kind of look on his face that kind of, to me, said, I'm not, I kind of agree with him, and, I kind of get this feeling that he's not sure that he's doing the right thing. But I think he's the only one with the programming now out of the Bad Batch, and I think his programming is kind of, there's something niggling him that's saying, I shouldn't be doing this. And my brothers, you know, I should be with my brothers. But at the same time, the chip in his head is just going, follow orders, good soldiers, follow orders, good soldiers, follow orders, good soldiers, follow orders. So, yeah, I think it's, you know, like, Crosshair, I think we're going to see a couple, maybe towards the end of the season finale, Crosshair's going to, maybe, I don't think Crosshair's going to turn again this season. I don't think he's going to go, you know, I don't want to see him flip-flop this season. I want to see him maybe kind of come to the realization, like the chip, like maybe get smacked in the head and the chip is fried and he's like, okay, right, I shouldn't have done this, but he's stuck. And so season two could be all about him. I hope there's a season two. Season two could be more about him wanting to get out. I mean, it could follow a very similar line to Tam in Resistance, with his, like, you know, she joins the First Order and then comes to realize that this was not a good idea. But maybe it'll be drawn out more for Crosshair. So yeah, a good episode, really great episode. I really loved it as a two-parter. It really, for me, hit a lot of nails on the head, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And with that, I'm gonna head off. But before I go, I'd like to thank you all for listening, and I'd like to thank the Patreons for their ongoing support and contributions. So thank you guys, and without further ado, I'm going to head off. No extended goodbyes, no weeping, no clutching for one last hug. I'm going to head off because I got to weep. But again, thank you for listening, and thank you, Patreons, for your support, contributions, and punch it chewy.